T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday. Dan Bernstein.
Chris Bryant hits a high fly ball deep left center field, back toward the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. Chris Bryant, a long solo home run, a towering drive to left center.
Leila Rahimi.
The biggest thing for me when we're talking about, like, is the trade rumors and, like, the narrative that's surrounding or has surrounded me, and that some people just completely don't understand, and they don't do any research or look at any of the interviews that I'm talking about.
The last thing in the world he is soft. Boy, I kind of laughed at that when I read some of that stuff. Soft, yeah, right. You can imagine trying to play this game in pain. It's not easy. It's not like football.
If I'm a major league GM, I'm doing everything I can to sign that guy. I'm doing everything I can to trade for him. He was literally in the middle of an all-star game answering questions about him getting traded in a week while being incredibly gracious, incredibly honoring to the city of Chicago and to the organization that brought him up. Everything about this guy screams, you need him on your team.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show.
With Bernsey and really Mahimi.
Middays, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Ian Happ will join us at 9:40, author Emily Nemens at 10 o'clock. We will revisit something that happened in sports a few years ago because it's fun at 10:20. Midday Midway, that's fun too, at 10:40. Matt Spiegel on all things baseball at 11. Got some NBA talk and surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That is the number here at WSCR, The Score, that we call the Score Listener Line. It's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Your emails can go to BernsteinRahimi at 670thescore.com. You go there to listen to us live. We stream at 670thescore.com. The text zone has your texts. Been great the last couple of days.
Yesterday was an all-timer.
Maybe it's because we've done a good job sort of curating the text line and blocking some of the nuisances and removing people from, you know, people who sort of waive their right to be a part of the conversation. But either way, it's been pretty good so far. I know I'm probably that's going to put the kibosh on it. We're going to get nothing but, like, you know, trolls and Nazis today. But
no, I got faith in people. In fact, we've had a few women who tell me they make the same joke about not having kids that they know of. Take it back, ladies. Take it back.
Tech Zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein Rahimi. She's at Leila Rahimi. She's the one that brought oatmeal because she forgot that we're doing the I'm Fat Cheeseburger today.
Oh, no. I didn't forget. I wasn't told.
I swear to God he said something yesterday.
He did, but I wasn't present for it because I was late to the meeting.
Maybe you weren't mentally present. Oh. Or maybe I forgot to tell you.
Which do we want to believe?
I told the room, generally.
If I wasn't in the room, then I wasn't told.
That is true.
This sounds like this. Honestly, is half of the discussions or disagreements that my wife and I have are, I told you, no, you didn't. Maybe you thought you did. I thought you said 5:30. I think you thought you said 5:30, but it was 7:30. Like, this takes up so much. It's like, well, you weren't listening. You were on TikTok. You were watching a game. You were busy. You had your back to me because you were cooking. I said it. I told you. I said it's all the stuff. So we have to come up with a system where we, like, write it on a whiteboard.
Selective
or just
hearing.
Say, did you hear me? Yes.
But even then, you're so conditioned to habitually just say yes, and then it doesn't register.
I'm not. I totally missed what Mitch said in a meeting one day and felt horribly guilty and was like, I'm sorry, Mitch.
That doesn't sound like you.
I didn't hear you listening. Are you being sarcastic or serious right now? Because both are bad.
Well, you can't do that because you know that in those meetings, Mitch is laser focused on us. What? What did I say? What is everybody looking to be funny for?
Who's on the show today, Dan?
This is starting badly and ending worse.
Where are we here?
We're in this situation currently being seen at the Open right now. We are in some sort of horrible rough.
That's as long as Patrick Reed is, I'm good. Cameron Smith, he'll find a way out of it. I want Patrick Reed to go into the rough and be eaten by squirrels. And that would be ideal.
I want to play a game with you all today, tomorrow. It is called, is Dan Bernstein talking or is he distracted watching the Open Championship?
No, I'm good. I'm cool. As long as Patrick Reed is eaten by squirrels or standing in one of those deep pot bunkers and quicksand, then everything's fine.
I don't know, man, because remember that time the Sox game was on while we were here and we were both like, do we have a show right now or can we watch this baseball game?
Do the Mike Francesa, like watching a horse race, right? Watching a horse on his phone or getting texts from one of his horse owner friends.
Pete Alonso, I apologize.
I looked in the meeting today. Layla goes to me, golf's on, so Dan's going to be distracted. Dan didn't hear it and said, ooh, Oosthuizen's 2 under. Whatever he said, it was like perfect timing.
3-1 fastball.
She just looked knocked at me and shrugged. See?
No.
That's how we do things on this show. We just speak things into existence.
All right. Well, where was it? I was talking about the text line and
Emily Nemens, and then also one Matt Spiegel.
Yes, they're going to be on the show. Twitter, @ Bernstein Rahimi. She's @ Layla Rahimi. I'm @ Dan _ Bernstein. Make sure you download the Odyssey app to stream the score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. And then there's Twitch. I don't really know how to describe what goes on there. I know it's fun. I know it's popular, and I know people get into all sorts of bizarre discussions in that chat, and occasionally there's like a weird anti-vax person that pops in there and gets shouted down. Have you seen some of that stuff going on? Like, there's the genuine oddballs that remain, like the crazy people, still will pop into that hive every now and then. And
I feel like it's like a group conversation.
Yeah, it's their own show that they do.
It's fun. It's a show within a show.
Show within a show that is moderated in that chat by Connor O'Donnell and Brian Gertz. They also handle the video feed here. We have these cameras set up in the studio so you can see what's going on. And that's a fun place to be. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. Jordan Malley is our sound man doing the things that he does. So this afternoon is it. This is you want to get Allen Robinson done? You can. It just doesn't seem like they do. I don't know what the numbers are. I don't know what he's asking, but we're looking at the beginning of the end of Allen Robinson here, and they've obviously thought it through. I don't think they've just like wake up. Wait, what? We have until now. What's happening? They've got a lot of people on that side, and they've got Joey Lane, their contract negotiator, who does these things. The guy who replaced Cliff Stein. So everybody knows the numbers, and nothing's moving the needle on these negotiations. It's possible that they could just pop in and say, hey, somebody blinked, and we came to an agreement, but it sounds like a commitment they don't want to make.
At least not this year. That's how I feel about it. I think it could be revisited, but I don't know that A-Rob would be patient enough to listen, and I don't blame him because he has been patient. If there's one thing we can say about Allen Robinson in his career, he's been patient. Yeah, and frankly, has been a professional through this whole process.
I always want to try to think like Matt Nagy and always sort of dreaming his magical dreams about the offense working the way it's supposed to work in a way that it never has. And maybe it never will. But once the whole Justin Fields reset that he's a part of, I think he envisions this glorious system that is more than the sum of its parts, where if everything is working correctly and the quarterback can see the field, some of these positions are more replaceable than others. And to me, philosophically, I think that's what underpins a lack of a desire to pay gobs of money to a single wide receiver, even one as talented as Allen Robinson.
When he quickly became a free agent before the franchise tag was applied, he became in the top 7, I believe, of Pro Football Focus's most available free agents, like most coveted, highest quality. Everybody else in the league seems to know what Allen Robinson means. to his offense. I don't know why the Bears don't acknowledge that.
I think you can do both. I think you can acknowledge what he has meant to the offense and then have a different philosophy about what he's supposed to mean to the idealized version of the Matt Nagy offense. That was my point about the about this codependency, about this kind of addiction, where you know that if things are moving fast for you and if you're not really understanding coverages and not really seeing the field and your clock is sped up, you can throw over there and something good is probably going to happen because he's so good. And you fall back on that. We saw it with Trubisky. We saw him, and Patrick Manley actually said it. Patrick Manley said, and it was only half joking, and he explained it as half joking. He said the best thing you could do for Mitchell Trubisky's development is deactivate Allen Robinson for a game.
But it's not the best thing you do if you want to win games. And that's really the bottom line here. Allen Robinson got you yards. Allen Robinson changed the shape of the defense. And despite everybody and their dog knowing that he was Mitch Trubisky's favorite target and his pacifier of sorts, he still got the job done. And that's what makes somebody a good receiver.
There's no question that all these things are true. It is absolutely true, but the argument was that Trubisky never was forced to learn to get better at finding the guy he was supposed to throw to as long as he had that feeling like, well, when in doubt, I'm just going to chuck it over to that guy.
Which is the point. That's it. It's not like, oh, hey, Mitch, sorry that, you know, you didn't get 4 yards on this play. You only got 3.5 because you threw to A-Rob. The other 4 weren't there. Like, you're not going to mix it up for the sake of mixing it up.
No, that he was missing the guy he was supposed to find. That's the point. There were open guys where you had your tight end in the place where he was supposed to be, and the coverage was all over on Robinson, and Robinson makes the catch in all that coverage, and there's a guy standing 20 yards down the field with nobody near him.
That's still not Allen Robinson's fault.
Of course it's not.
But catching the ball is his job.
But the way Nagy thinks is that was standing in the way of that big play being made. That it's not about the names. It's about this X receiver and this Y receiver and the U tight end and the Z flanker. He's not worried about the names. He's worried about, and this is why he constantly harped on understand coverages. Know where guys are. Know what they're trying to do to you, because so many times on film, you'd go back and you'd see that guy standing and Mitch never saw him.
100%. If we want to talk about Mitch Trubisky's field read progression today, we can do a show that we've talked about, I don't know, ever since he came here. Like, that's just 101 with him. But I'm saying, beyond all of this, Allen Robinson has done his job and then some.
Indeed.
And it's not his fault that Mitch Trubisky looked for him. That is what a wide receiver who's good at his job makes the quarterback do.
He's done absolutely nothing wrong. I don't think the Bears think that he has. I always think that when they finally think they've got their quarterback, that they don't have to overspend at a premium on a guy at this stage of his career, when perhaps they think that finally, the magic offense is going to work. I'm not saying they're right. I just try to understand their logic in some of this.
Yes, you are arguing based on the toolbox of concepts, which is great. But I am arguing based on actual reality, where Allen Robinson was absolutely crucial to any win the Bears were going to have. Also, 630 makes a good point here. The number one wide receiver in Kansas City, where I think you have to look for Nagy, is a speed guy. And that is not Robinson's game. That is an accurate point.
She's Layla Rahimi. I'm Dan Bernstein. We're Bernstein and Rahimi, middays 9 a.m. to noon. Ian Happ joins us next on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Ian Happ, outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
That's why playing at Wrigley is the best. Chicago and the Cubs faithful, they are incredible. They keep us up every single day.
In the air, center field. Alford back.
Ian Happ.
Get out the tape measure for Ian Happ.
What would you think about trying to do a quarantine coffee?
Dinger dollars for everybody. Ian Happ will touch them all.
Hair looking so good.
Just crazy.
So good.
Way back. Gone. Ian Happ ties up the game.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
I have a bone to pick with both of you.
Joy.
Uh-oh. Listen.
You guys were all in on this pants up thing. Pants up. We're going pants up. It's pants up podcast. Pants up. You did pants up one day. You had a good day. Why don't you go pants up again? Pants up socks. Okay. Over pants up. Go over four. I punched twice. I'm f***ing over it. And you know what else? You know what else? I got bug bites all over my f***ing shins. Okay. Because I didn't have pants to protect me. And I didn't, no one told me about this. I'm standing center field. My legs start to itch a little bit in like the eighth inning. And before you know it, I can't. My legs are just roasted. I'm just scratching the skin off my leg.
Ian Happ with Bernstein and Rahimi on The Score.
Yeah, see, they don't tell you those things. Oh, the pants up community, the pants up lobby doesn't want you to know the potential negatives of being bitten up. So be it. And then of course, Zach says, well, he didn't commit to it enough. He's got to actually go even harder into it. Ian Happ joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. You can follow the Cubs outfielder and compound podcast host on Twitter at IHAP_1. How are you recharging, Ian?
Trying to. Doing well, I think. I was just talking to somebody about the All-Star break, and this is our time to recharge. And, you know, people will go on little vacations or get away or do little things. And then you relate it back to, you know, it's actually we're flying out tonight to Arizona. So it's, you know, 3.5 days off, and it's like a long weekend.
That seems logistically good. Yeah.
Yeah, which is really funny. You know, this is the big break. It's like, well, it's basically a long weekend. But it's been great. It's been great to have some downtime. It's been great to kind of get a couple days with family, see friends, and kind of be able to recharge the batteries. For me, I spent in Chicago and now flying with the team to Arizona tonight. So just excited to get going again. I think you spend a couple days away and it's nice, and then you're ready to get back and keep playing baseball.
Do you watch the Home Run Derby? Do you watch the All-Star game?
I saw some highlights. You know, I was trying to do the complete getaway and really, you know, have some dinners, some nights that were fun and kind of away from it. So I saw highlights and a podcast on Monday night. So we were talking kind of at the end of the Derby, I guess, and maybe it just finished with some of those guys had seen the way it finished up. So we talked about that a little bit. But I saw KB lined out, which is very, very apropos. Line out to left, diving play. And Craig had a clean two-thirds. So I made sure to check up on those guys.
Yeah, that's nice of you. It's a good teammate thing to do. Did you catch his interview at all, Chris Bryant's with Joe Buck during the game?
I saw the kind of highlights of it, you know, and I feel for him. I feel for, and I saw what Big Poppy said too about going to Boston, and I just those are super difficult questions that don't have right answers. And not only that, but you know that this is a guy who's done unbelievable things in a Cub uniform. He's been Rookie of the Year. He's been MVP. He's been a World Series champ. He's been that was his fourth All-Star game. He's been four-time All-Star in six possible. Years with you know 7 years under his belt as a Cubby, you know his son, you know this is kind of his son's home. He's probably spent more time here than he has in Vegas, and just little things like that. Like this has been a really special city to him and his family. He's done a lot for the city, and so those questions about leaving, about the possibility that he can't control at all. Are difficult. Like I said, they have no right answers, and that guy's just trying to enjoy being an All-Star and represent the Chicago Cubs in the best way he can. So I think he did a good job of dodging. He did a good job of giving the right answers because he's a super nice guy and he would never blow anybody up on air, but you know, not easy.
Well, that's good perspective because we did talk about it a little bit earlier, not just us a day ago, but really also this morning because of what's come out. And I joke that Chris Bryant is like the kid that you grow up with where your parents are like, why can't you be more nice like Chris Bryant? Because he does always find the right thing to say. He handled it well. But even you telling us right now that that is not an easy thing to discuss on that stage gives it a little bit of credence.
Yeah, and I think nobody wants to answer questions like that. And you kind of dread because you can't say the right thing. So whether you say, no, I'm out, I'm done, excited for the next chapter, everybody hates you. And if you say, I never want to leave Chicago, I hope I'm here for the rest of my life, then, people get on you for not being able to accept reality. And then it probably makes it harder if you actually do get moved. So there's no right answer there. And there's trying to enjoy or what you should be doing, right, is enjoying the All-Star game and having this amazing experience for the fourth time and really savoring it. And one of the things we talk about a lot and that I've heard Chris talk about is you never know when it's going to be your last All-Star game, playoff game. Some of these things that you can't control, you never know when it's going to be your last one of those. So getting to experience those moments and really stay in the moment, really cherish them. And, when that first question hits, which is probably on media day on Monday before the Derby, then he's probably dreading every time he's going to be interviewed, whether it's during the game, whether it's after the game, whether it's on Fox. Every one of those is probably tough for him because he's having to think, oh, God, are they going to ask me this question? Am I going to have to dodge it again? And so I feel for him that was probably his toughest as far as mentally and addressing questions, All-Star game, that he's had to go through. And you know, I hope that, see him tomorrow and be able to talk about it. Hopefully it was a fun experience for him and Jess and Kyler.
How much have you talked amongst yourselves in various group chats, et cetera, about any of the fallout from the Wilson Contreras comments and then David Ross coming back and really kind of slapping him down fairly forcefully, both in his approach and saying we like to keep that in-house and essentially saying he's wrong and we don't have anybody who isn't trying their hardest. And now you got teammates kind of caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, I think that's something that we've addressed it in the clubhouse. It's something that we've all played together for a really long time, which has snuck up on us. But these guys have been with Wilson for 6 years. This is my fifth year with Wilson, and so we were able to have a great conversation amongst teammates. And some of those things in the media sometimes there's a little bit of a language barrier where some of the stuff that he said that he wasn't exactly how he wanted to say it. And it obviously didn't come out very well. And as teammates, you don't want to hear something like that because everybody's on the field trying as hard as they can. Everybody's putting their work in and giving the best effort they can out there. And Wilson knows that. He's played with us long enough that he knows how hard everybody's trying and how much of an effort that we give day in and day out. But there was more to it. There was more things that needed to be worked out and said and talked about. And one of the most difficult things for our group year in and year out is that we want to succeed at the highest level and we know that we have the talent and the ability to do so. And so underperforming that talent and underperforming where we think we can be at the end of every year is something that's challenging for us. And we know exactly what it looks like. Those guys, even more than I do, because they, they knew what the 15 and 16 teams looked like that were, I don't know how many games the 15 team won, but then the winning the World Series in the 16, they know what that clubhouse looks like. They know what that brand of baseball looks like. I think we had it in 17. I think we had it in 18. And so for me being able to, relate to those guys and have a conversation about how do we get this team to that point where we really feel like, we have the ability as a team, to make progress, to kind of cut into this, lead in the second half. And we talked a lot about the 2017 team. We were, I think, 5 games down at the break. Took a recharge, came hot out of the break, won 6 in a row, and kind of didn't look back and took the division by storm that second half. So those are just some of the things that we want to be better at as a team, and those conversations happen in the clubhouse, and we try to find a way of how to get to that point and be the Chicago Cubs that we want to be.
I also think it's the good time to remind people that players are the ones most motivated. Like, fans think, oh, this guy might not be trying or this and that. And then we hear what Wilson says. So we're going to have a certain opinion about it based on what we see or based on the emotion that a fan has or that a media person has watching. And when you say there's more to it, how do you define that? Not just the attitude and the product that we've seen on the field of the teams you mentioned before, but maybe also what Wilson was trying to say and how you know him to speak to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, he talking about mentality or connectivity is far different than effort. But sometimes it's difficult, you know, when he's not speaking his native language to be able to articulate that. Can you imagine doing interviews in another language and trying to be as articulate as you possibly can when dancing around a sensitive subject?
I have enough trouble with English, so there's
Yeah, because I cannot. You know, I've put my foot in my mouth in interviews in English, so you know, I can't possibly imagine. But the just going back, we know the ability of this group, and I think it is the narrative that players, when the team is not doing well, it's because players are not trying as hard because they've given up or they don't care, is something that it baffles me every time. I couldn't possibly understand the logic there, because this is something that every one of the guys on a Major League Baseball field has not only worked, you know, since they've been in professional baseball, they've worked their entire lives to get to this point. Since they were 8 years old, everything that they've done it has been geared towards getting to this point. It's the culmination of a ton of hours and effort, not only from themselves, but their families, and they're trying to preserve it as long as they possibly can, because everybody in the big leagues knows that it's a short window. And it can be consuming. It can be a lot of things that are probably unhealthy, but at no point have I ever seen a lack of effort or caring from a Major League Baseball player. So I know that we have a lot of fans that don't feel that way. I know we have a lot of fans in Chicago that believe in us, that want this game turned around. I saw Monday and Tuesday some unbelievable Cubs fans that were nothing but positive, and really it always amazes me in the suburbs here, going around and you know, playing, when I play golf at some places, and people that come up and lifelong Cub fans and say, hey, we really believe in you guys, we think that you can do it. And I think that's the coolest experience for me, is being able to see the true people who return on Cubs games every night, and how wholeheartedly they believe in this group.
Before we talk about all the good stuff that Connect Roasters is doing and First Tee Chicago, in my notes, I came in getting ready to make fun of you and Dakota and Zach for your chalkier than chalk Open Championship picks. I'm like, really? You're going to give me Oosthuizen and Spieth and Rory? I'm looking at the leaderboard, and Louis Oosthuizen is leading at 6 under, and Jordan Spieth is tied for second at 5 under. So I was hoping to get some, you know, down roster kind of picks here, some value picks, some, you know, some maybe higher odds to make a little money. But no, you guys went totally chalk. But I guess I can't say anything because he's leading.
I mean, Oosthuizen is one of the most steady major players out there. He's always in the top 5 or top 10. And it's not a name that I think anybody's going to say that he's got the best game in the world. But he is so consistent. He's always there. And I hope he can pull it off, because that would be incredible.
Well, and I apologize for doing this to Tommy Fleetwood, but at some point, and years ago, I had him as circled as a guy who was going to win a major, and I'm still waiting, and I made him bad, because that's the effect when I bet on somebody or a team, and if the person becomes bad, or they lose a limb, or they get the plague or something. But I still think this is, I've got a few seasons left of Fleetwood having an opportunity to win, and this would be the one I think he would be most likely to win, so I'll put down there.
I love his game. I think he's bound to do it at some point. And I'm always amazed by his golf swing and how his posture. He's like bent in half the entire way. It's wonderful.
I will not ask you exactly how much parse rum you may or may not have consumed on your days off. I hope some. What's the latest with parse, and then also Connect?
Yeah, parse has been awesome. I think we share stories every time we get on to the podcast. We share stories of different stadiums where me, Zach, and Dakota have had people yell at us, and It's been really cool. But the latest with Connect, they just announced that the Marat Blend has done 1,100 hours of programming for the first tee in funding for the new facility by Waveland. And it's just been such a cool project. We're so happy that people have supported. And we have some new bags coming out soon. So those are close. We just looked at some of the samples yesterday, and the new packaging is going to be pretty cool. So we're excited for some announcements towards the end of the summer.
Very cool. Ian, I'm glad you enjoyed the rest. Here's to a great second half.
Thanks. See ya.
Have a happy flight, Ian.
Ian Happ of the Chicago Cubs. Next up, the author of the wonderful baseball novel, The Cactus League, Emily Nemens, is going to join us for Bernstein and Rahimi Score Book Club. That's next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.